Amen. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. And by the way, I forgot to mention that some of us were able to go to the Patch the Pirate concert this past week at Meridian Baptist Church in Newton, and it was a wonderful evening. We were sorry that Shelley Hamilton was not able to be there because she had to go back to South Carolina and be with her husband, Ron Hamilton. Of course, many of the hymns we sing are written by Ron Hamilton, and it's Ron Hamilton's hymn book we're singing out of. But he is in the nursing home now. He may not live too much longer. He's not doing very well. He's pretty much bedridden now. But what a legacy that he leaves for us and for the music community. And it was a great evening. And pray for Shelley, his wife Shelley, and she ministers to her husband Ron. With that, I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. We're going to begin there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. We read, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." We're talking about holiness for a few weeks here. Last time we talked about how holiness is separation from sin. Holiness has nothing to do with sin. We're to be separated from sin. We're to put sin to death, and that's what we're going to continue talking about this morning. So we begin with this verse. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Follow holiness, without which, that is without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we need your help this morning. We need your guidance. We need your presence and power in our lives. We need to know more of your love and love you more and more until that day when we are on high with you and we're in your very presence. Thank you for the privilege of meeting together like this, enjoying fellowship with one another as Christians. We believe, Lord, this should be a little bit like heaven on earth. And indeed it is to be with fellow believers and be able to encourage one another and to meet like this as a body of believers in the church and get encouragement from your word. And so encourage us this morning, Lord. Rebuke us where we need us and lead us and guide us into a closer walk with you. We pray, Lord, for those who are not able to be with us this morning because of illness or other situations. May your blessing be upon each of them. We pray now, you'll go before us. May your name be glorified. Help me as I preach and help us all as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And when we think of holiness, we want to think about doing right, saying no to sin, but yes to Jesus and yes to what is right. And what we want to look at here in 1 Corinthians 6 is how to know right from wrong. How to know right from wrong. Look at chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Okay, that word, some of you may have the word helpful. That's what it means. All things are lawful for me. There are many things I can do as a Christian, but not everything that I choose to do as a Christian is helpful, is it? Not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not be enslaved to that which may be lawful to me. So, how to know right from wrong. From this verse, there are four principles we can look at. Let me just name them. Number one, we should ask the question, is it helpful? Is what I'm about to do helpful? For example, in the morning, I get up and I need to read the Bible. But I haven't even looked at my phone yet to see what's going on. I mean, after all, It might mean that we don't have a president anymore, and Kamala is president now because Mr. Biden resigned. Who knows? I'd like to know that if that were the case. So I get out my phone, and then I look. Well, no, he's still president. And then I see other headlines, and I see this article. Well, that looks interesting. Oh, here's one about how to eat a healthy diet. You know, you wouldn't believe how attracted I am to those articles on how to be healthy, how to eat food that's better for you. You don't believe that, do you? You shouldn't believe that. Not, I know. But anyway, we get that, or we read the headlines in the newspaper, if we get a newspaper, and that's not very helpful. I need to be reading my Bible when I get up in the morning. Get the Bible out. Is it helpful? Another thing we can ask is, does it bring me under its power? Is what am I doing going to bring me under its power? There are habits that we start developing. For example, I decide, social drinking's all right. But that one drink can bring you under the power of alcohol. And it has doomed many to a life of alcoholism, to a life of drunkenness. That's why you just stay away from it. You don't touch it. Nobody, you know, I hear alcoholism is a disease. But it's funny, it's a disease you'll never get if you never drink. So no drink, you won't get that disease. Okay? So, does it bring me under its power? A third question is, does it hurt others? Does it hurt others? Is it going to be offensive to someone else, what I'm about to do? For example, I decide to have a friend over for dinner, and I know that friend is a vegetarian, but that's too bad. We're having ham. We're having ham. And, you can either eat ham or go without. No, that's not what you do. You fix a vegetable, right? You fix a vegetable. But does it hurt others? That would be an example. Or you say, well, it's all right for me to drink beer. Well, is that going to hurt someone else who has had a problem with alcoholism? You're drinking beer in front of them. And a fourth question is, does it glorify God? Does it glorify God? In First Corinthians, well, it doesn't hurt others. I forgot to give you references. The first two are 1 Corinthians 6:12 that we looked at. And number three is 1 Corinthians 8:13. And number four, does it glorify God, is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, it's to be done to the glory of God. So is what I'm taking part in glorifying God? You see, to live holy lives, to put away sin, we need to develop convictions. We've been talking about convictions and commitment. Convictions and commitment. And we need to develop convictions. And our convictions need to be based upon the Bible. And then we say, well, what about the gray areas? The gray areas where Christians differ in their convictions as to God's will. Well, Paul deals with this question in Romans 14. You might turn there to Romans 14, where he takes up the problem of eating certain kinds of food, eating certain types of food. And he gives us at least three general principles to guide us. Look at Romans 14, verses 1 through 4. Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputations, or not to quarreling over opinions. Don't get in a quarrel over your different opinions about things. You know, like I say, well, the Nebraska Cornhuskers, they're the greatest thing that ever happened since apple pie. And you say, Pastor, I beg to differ. What about those Wildcats? You mean you're a Kentucky fan? I can't believe it. There's only one team called Cornhuskers. There's about a dozen that are called Wildcats, so why wouldn't you want to follow them? So we can argue over that. Who's the best team? And we'll never settle that argument now that Nebraska went to the Big Ten. Yes, I wish they were still in the Big 12, and I wish they still played K-State, KU, and Oklahoma, and all those. But anyway, so receiving, but not to quarreling over opinions. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs. One believes he can eat meat, all steak, ham, everything, and another one who is weak is a vegetarian. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Okay, we're fussing over these things, and God has received both of these people. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, yea, he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. So Paul is dealing with this question in Romans 14 when he takes up the problem of eating certain food. And he gives at least three general principles to guide us. Principle number one, we should not judge those whose convictions are different from ours. We say, well, they're wrong. No, their convictions are just different than yours. They're not necessarily wrong. Now, it might be wrong for you, but it may not be wrong for them. Maybe it's the television. One family believes that it is wrong to own a TV. It's just wrong. Christians shouldn't have televisions in their homes. Well, that was in the day. Now we carry that into today's technology. We say, well, is it wrong to have a computer then? Is it wrong to have a smartphone and so on? And we realize, well, you can't go that far with it. But let's just say television. One family believes it's wrong to own a TV. Another believes it's okay to own a TV if it's controlled. Who's right? Well, they differ in opinion. It's whoever does it is to do it for the Lord. I have a conviction that eating ice cream before bed is good. Because I think it's good. I love it. It makes me feel good. It makes me happy. I go to bed and I'm just thinking, man, that was the best thing to help me go to sleep. After all, James 1 says, 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So this ice cream just comes down from heaven, and it is heavenly. Verse 3 of our passage, let not him that has a TV despise him that doesn't have a TV. And let not him which doesn't have a TV judge him that has a TV, for God has received them. God's received both of them. In other areas which we differ, like maybe schools, we send our kids to, or the way we dress, or our diet, and on and on and on. One of the principles, number one, don't judge those who have different convictions than you do. Don't judge them that have different convictions than you do. For example, someone may decide they have a conviction about eating meat. They don't believe they want it, and they're going to eat meat. And what do? You invite them over for a ham dinner. Is that what you should do? No. In a sense, you're judging them when you do that. Accommodate them. Have a vegetarian dinner for once. You can do that. The second principle is that whatever our convictions are, they need to be to the Lord. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:31. They need to be developed out of a sense of obedience to him. In our passage in Romans 14 and verse 5 through verse 8. Romans 14, verse 5. One man esteems one day above another. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own man, in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it to the Lord. He that regards not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. By the way, we would do well to give God thanks for everything. My wife reminded me of that just recently. You know, we can be thankful. And I looked at her and I thought, man, I forgot all about that. Yeah, and that makes a difference in my attitude. I can be joyful through the day when I have a thankful spirit. So, for he giveth God thanks, and he eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and he giveth God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the living and the dead. So whatever our conviction, it's to be to the Lord. And be fully persuaded in our own mind. Verse 5. Verse 6, he regards it to the Lord. Verse 8, we are the Lord's. Now I'm afraid that a good share of what we call biblical convictions are instead traditions, man-made traditions. Sometimes we make the error of making someone else's conviction our conviction without being shown by the Lord that that ought to be our conviction, without the Spirit showing us from the Word of God that this should be our conviction. Now, it's okay to learn by the example of others, but I need to see from the Bible as well as from someone else. For example, a man has a conviction that he isn't going to have health insurance. He isn't going to have health insurance. Now, I remember someone who felt this way. They just had a true biblical conviction that they shouldn't have health insurance. They were going to trust the Lord to provide for them for any medical need. And for him, it was a lack of faith and trust in God's ability to take care of his needs. Well, I hear about his conviction, and I think, hey, that sounds pretty good for me, too. I believe I'll be spiritual if I decide I'm not going to get health insurance. If he can do it, so can I. And I believe I'll be more spiritual if I just cancel my health insurance. But wait a minute. Is this from God? Has God directed me to do this? If it's truly conviction from God, then God's going to take care of me in a time of need. But if it's done only because it sounds spiritual or to save money, you may have a major medical bill and no way to pay for it. And God may say to you, well, why didn't you buy health insurance when I brought it your way? You know, it's kind of like the man who stood on the roof of his house when there was a flood, and he said, well, God's going to save me. And a guy came by in a rowboat and said, get in and I'll save you. And he said, no, God's going to save me. And then the flood came and swallowed up the house, and the guy drowned, and he died, and he went to heaven, and he said, Lord, why didn't you save me? And he said, I sent you a rowboat. Why didn't you get in it, right? So that's maybe the way it should be sometimes. Why didn't you get insurance? Let's make sure we don't judge those whose convictions differ from ours, and let's make sure our convictions are truly of the Lord. Verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regards not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. There's another passage. Let me just read Colossians 2:16-17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or in the new moon or in the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man judge you concerning certain days. Like, for example, some regard Sunday, the first day of the week, as a very special day to be observed and set apart for the Lord. And so they will abstain from doing certain things on this special day, like they believe for them it's wrong to eat out. I remember there was a day when many felt that way. It was wrong to go out and eat because you were going to a restaurant and you're causing someone else to have to work on the Lord's day to serve you your meal. You may feel that way today, and we respect that, and that's your conviction. Not eating out, or you believe you shouldn't work in the yard, or you shouldn't watch TV. Others, though, they worship on this day, and they're not bothered by certain practices. We used to have a fellow in our church, he believed it was wrong for him to watch TV on Sunday. So he waited till sundown Sunday night. And then after sundown, it was all right to watch TV after church. But so anyway, we all have our different views on that. So number one, don't judge others whose convictions differ from yours. And number two, be sure your convictions are to the Lord. And then the third principle is be true to those convictions. Be true to those convictions. In other words, whatever convictions we have developed as to the Lord, we need to be true to them. We need to be as consistent as we can be. Again, Romans 14, but look over in verse 22 and 23. Romans 14, 22, hast thou faith? Do you have faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in that which he allows. And he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So in other words, if we go against our convictions, we are sinning, even though others may have perfect freedom in that particular thing. For example, maybe working on Sunday, you have a conviction against it. You believe it's wrong. Someone else in the church or that you know doesn't have that conviction. Are they wrong and you're right? We respect one another, right? We just, whatever we've developed, whatever convictions, we need to be true to them. Paul is saying in this setting that if you have any doubt or hesitation about a matter of food, then you are self-condemned. And if you can't do it or eat it in faith and a pure conscience, then leave it alone. Don't eat it then, or don't do it. Whenever you're in doubt, then give Christ the benefit of that doubt. And if you can't do something as Christ's follower, then don't do it. Don't do it at all. The old saying, when in doubt, play safe. When in doubt, play safe. Our problem, our danger, is when we are not sure something is right, and we do it anyway. And we shouldn't. We're not sure something's right. When in doubt, play safe. But instead, we do it anyway. That's my temptation. That's probably all right. I'll go ahead and do it. And then I pay for it later. I regret it later. All this relates to having convictions. Am I willing to develop convictions from the Bible and live by these convictions? That's the trouble. We get a conviction and before long it goes away because we don't live by it anymore. It really didn't mean that much to us when it should have. And this is the rub. This is the bottom line. This is where the rubber meets the road. Will we live by our so-called convictions? We're hesitant to face up to God's standards for holiness in a specific area of life. For we know that to do so is going to require obedience. Obedience that we're unwilling to give. So a life of holiness requires convictions. I need to be convinced that what I'm about to do is the right thing. I need to have a conviction. That's the word conviction is related to that word convinced. I'm convinced of this. This is right. This is what I'm going to do. This is going to be my regular practice because I'm convinced that this is what God wants from me. So a life of holiness requires convictions. Secondly, a life of holiness requires commitment. Commitment and convictions. Look at Luke 14, verse 33. Luke 14, verse 33, the Lord says, you find that? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Whoever is not willing not willing to forsake all that you have, cannot be your disciple. Are you willing to give up what God is wanting you to give up? That's what I see as all that you have, all that God has shown you. Are you willing to give up a certain practice? Are you willing to give up a habit that is keeping you from holiness? It requires commitment, doesn't it? Are we willing to commit ourselves to the Lord? We'd rather dally with sin. We'd rather play with sin a little without getting too deeply involved. And just a little, not much. I'll be all right. I'm strong. I'll be able to say no to temptation. It's that one more time syndrome. One more time syndrome. One more lustful look. One more look won't hurt anything. After all, I've already done it, so what's another look? Or one more TV program before reading my Bible. One more look on the internet, you know, one more syndrome. And so we postpone the day of commitment, the day when we say, enough, that's it. I am committed to the Lord. I'm committed to the Lord, to His Word, to His people, to His church, to my family, and on we can go. And so we postpone the day of commitment when we say, enough. I'm gonna begin living by my convictions. I need to begin living by my convictions. Putting sin to death, not easy. Not easy, is it? Not easy to break those habits, those patterns of sin that are so deeply entrenched in our hearts. It's a struggle. It's the old man, the old flesh. He's a fighter. He doesn't go down without fighting. But God gives me a fight too. And I can fight sin. I can say no to sin. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6. And so we're to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life. We're in a wrestling match. We're in a fight. We're in a shootout with the devil. And God's given us a victory. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. But we've got to claim that victory and go in the strength and the power of the Lord against sin, against those sins that beset us, that trip us up so easily because we're so convinced to go that way. But we need to break those patterns. But if we're ever going to be on the pathway of holiness, we need to put sin to death. We need to kill it. Remember I said it's like we walk around dragging a corpse. We have a corpse chained to our foot. And everywhere we go in this life, we're dragging that corpse around. That's that sin that we put to death. We're to die to sin. We're to die to sin. But sin's going to stay attached. It's dead. We have the remains of sin we have to still deal with. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. And we need to be committed to live by our biblical convictions. May God help us to do that. And He will. He will if I trust Him. If I walk by faith, I believe. I believe He gives me the strength and the power. And I believe in His Word. And I believe in doing right. And I believe in serving others and serving Him and on and on. Will you do it? Will you give yourself to Him? Will you make that commitment? Commitment. Make a commitment. When you got hired on your job, you had to make a commitment. You're going to show up for work. You didn't make that commitment, not work too well. I remember I got hired at UPS back when I was in college. And I had to get up at 2:30 in the morning. And I was late for work the first couple mornings. And I realized, one more time and I'm going to be fired. So you know what I did? I went out and bought two more alarm clocks. And I had three alarm clocks go off at different times. And I put them in other rooms and it made me get out of bed. And that got me to work on time so I didn't lose my job. I had to make a commitment to being there. We'll do that. We'll do that in the secular, but will we do it in the sacred, in the spiritual? when it comes to serving Christ, comes to reading our Bible and prayer, will you make a commitment to being faithful to Him? You can be. You can read your Bible. You can share the Bible with others. You say, I don't know what to tell people. I don't know how to witness. That's a bunch of baloney. That's a lie from the devil. And you want to go on believing that lie, and you go on. But it's not right. And you can be a witness. You say, well, what do I say? You just tell somebody you're saved and you're on your way to heaven and you want them to go with you. I used to go out door to door, knock on the doors. And we used to knock on doors with a fellow named Bill Forbes. Bill Forbes. And he always had this line. He'd say, so-and-so, Jim or Henry, whatever. He said, I'm going to heaven. I want you to go with me. And I thought, I like that. I like that. I'm going to heaven. I want you to go with me. And he meant it. He meant it. And sometimes people then would listen. And we can do that. Or we can tell people, you know, God saved me. Let me tell you how God saved me. I was 22 years old. This is what I say. I was 22 years old. Somebody showed me from the Bible that I need to be saved. And they showed me from the Bible how to be saved. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know you can know you're going to heaven till that night I got saved, and I just called on the name of the Lord. And that will go a long way. Just share with them how you got saved, and you can be a witness that way. So may God help us. I need to be committed to doing that. And I can be, and I can pray, and I can look for opportunities to be a witness. And God will help you and me to do that. I don't need a soul-winning class. I just need to start telling people about Jesus. I need to be convinced that He's the only way. He's the only way of life, that He's our only hope. There is no hope. There's no hope for this nation. I hope you're not trusting in our president to take care of this nation. We never do that, do we? Whether it's Biden, whether it was Trump, or whoever president was. Ronald Reagan, he was a great president, but he couldn't save this country. He couldn't save you. It's only Christ can do that. He's the one we trust. So, well, I'm lingering on here, but I was done early, so I'm killing some time. But I hope those are some things that are helpful. And they help me and they remind me that I can be a witness. I tell you, I'm just like you. I'm scared to death to talk to people about the Lord. I really am. I really am. And I'm ashamed of the times and I let that opportunity go by. And I think, well, what am I going to say? I don't know what to say. You say, you're a preacher. You know what to say. I know I do. But I don't want to. But when I do, I'm glad I did. And when I start talking, then I find, well, I can talk. Yeah, well, you know I can talk. But you just got to start talking. And we need to just talk up the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will bless that as we do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this time together in Your Word and be able to talk about these things. I pray You just bless us, Lord, and help us truly be witnesses for You. And help us to develop right habits, holy patterns of righteousness, and realize that all things are lawful, but all things are not necessarily helpful. And help us, Lord, to just to be faithful to You and trusting in You, and realize that without holiness, none of us will see the Lord. And so I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that has not been made holy, has not been set apart from sin and set apart to the Lord Jesus Christ by their faith in His shed blood, I pray that today they might come to know Him as Savior. And so bless now as we close. We just give this time to You. I pray You work in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn in our hymn books to that last hymn.